Hi, I'm Paul Vamvass, the host of Curiosity Never Retires, presented by OLLI at American University. OLLI at American University is an adult education program that allows mostly, but not only, retired seniors to learn and teach subjects that have always interested them. We offer so many classes in so many subjects that we thought it would be a good idea to provide a preview of some of them to help you decide which ones you might like to take. This one is a look at a class we're calling The Renaissance, Not Just Pretty Faces. And to talk about it is our colleague, Christina Phleps. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Paul. It's so nice to be a guest on your show.
Christina, when people think about the Renaissance, they often think about the art and the great artists of the period, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Botticelli, etc. But of course, the period was about so much more as well, the politics, the advances in science and invention, the rediscovery of ancient knowledge. How were all those things related?
Very strongly related to the art that we will focus on in this class. There's so much history that led to the art of the Renaissance, and the Renaissance, as you point out, was so much broader than merely the art. It was a rebirth of classical knowledge and interest in science. For example, if you remember back to high school physics and math, you might remember Archimedes, and you might remember Pythagoras. Those were rediscovered. Classical orators like Cicero were rediscovered. People writing, like beginning with Dante and then Boccaccio and Petrarch, began to write in a more humanistic style that they rediscovered from classical predecessors. There was a renaissance of knowledge in architecture, in sculpture, that completely transformed the rather staid and static society of the Middle Ages, transformed its art, its commerce, its culture, even its music, for you music fans out there like me, in many, many ways. So yes, you're absolutely right. More than just the pretty faces of the art and more than just the art. And by the way, there are some faces in the art that are not that pretty, and we will see a few of them.
That's a sprawling topic. What parts are you going to focus on?
I will focus on the art, and of course I will focus on some of the great masters, just because I love to look at beautiful pictures, and I like to get my students looking at beautiful pictures. And for the first time that I have been teaching art history in retirement, at OLLI, I have this huge screen that is just an absolute delight, better and bigger than any screen I've ever had than that. And also, I have a little light pointer that allows me to zoom in on delightful details. So it's thrilling to look at art at OLLI. And as I say, I will focus on art. But as we've discussed, I will take them through some historical background to put the art in context and show them how this art came to be. And then we'll be taking some side trips away from what people normally think of as the Renaissance, which is the Italian Renaissance focused in Florence. We will take some excursions to the Northern Renaissance, where things are partly similar but partly different. And we'll take some excursions into other innovative areas such as banking, because you can't have big art or big anything without banking.
Going back to the art for a minute, I think most people know the names of many of the period's artists, but there are others whose names aren't so familiar, and some of them, of course, were women. Are you going to talk about them?
Yes, I will talk about women, but something else I will talk about before we get to the big names, Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo, who I tend to think of as the three amigos, not. Before we get to them, we will go through some names who are a little lesser known, but who in their own way were giants upon whose shoulders these big guys stood. Because these lesser known names, for example, Fra Carnevale, Fra Angelico, and Fra Filippo Lippi, and others, Masaccio, for example, a poor young man who died in his early 20s of, I'll leave you to guess, experimented with the techniques such as one-point perspective, atmospheric perspective, modeling of forms and limbs and faces that allowed the great masters to really do their stuff and make it fabulous.
Is Artemisia Gentileschi one of these artists?
No, and yes, she is no, because she's not in the early Renaissance, like Masaccio and Fra Carnevali and Fra Angelico and Fra Filippo Lippi and so forth. She is actually in the Baroque period, but she is an artist that I will definitely discuss because she too is a master and used all the techniques that the earlier masters discovered. And she is probably the one woman in the Renaissance and Baroque whose name survives to us. She's recognizable, but there are other women artists in the Renaissance and Baroque who deserve mention and whom I will discuss and show.
So you are going to get into the Baroque period.
Absolutely. It's fun. It's dramatic. And that's the thing that the Baroque has that, to me, adds on to the Renaissance. It incorporates all the techniques developed in the Renaissance, which led artists to go from their starting point, which is the absolutely flat, decorative, kind of non-human, otherworldly icons of the Byzantine period into full, rounded, human representations, rounded bodies, perspective, three-dimensional space on a two-dimensional canvas, and human expressions, and make a human-oriented world, as I say. That's the Renaissance. That's how far they got. But the Baroque took it a step further into what I think of as drama. So you have an artist like Caravaggio or Artemisia Gentileschi creating even more dramatic scenes. For example, using the technique of chiaroscuro, where you have a deep, dark background from which emerges a brightly front-lit face and body, sometimes in the case of Caravaggio, even writhing, and always filled with dramatic expressions. So you have a step beyond that, as I say, is really fun to look at and explore.
Is there any preparation that you'd suggest for the study group members?
No. The great thing about Ollie is that you don't have to do homework. And many people told me that when I first started at Ollie. But what I want them to do is to come prepared with their own thoughts and viewpoint from whatever discipline they had. Because what I found in my earlier Ollie class was that people who came in with other disciplines, a doctor, a traveler, a scientist, and another painter, had so much to add from their discipline to this class in art history. So bring your own discipline, look back on your life, remember it, bring your knowledge, and then just bring your willingness to participate and engage with your fellow students, and bring your willingness to have some fun, please.
Your own curiosity seems very broad. Do you have any plans for future classes?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that one, too. Yeah, I do have a couple that I want to do in the near future. One is another art history course, full semester, that I hope to do in the spring. And this would be in connection with the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. I would like to do American art, which is incredibly rich. And there, too, just like in the Renaissance, we have quite a journey from the rather staid portraits and I think the term today is non-academic art of the 18th century through the fanciful landscapes of the early 19th century, the majestic realistic landscapes of the middle and late 19th century, the glamorous portraits and scenes of the Gilded Age, and then a complete flip around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century when we have the Ashcan school showing the darker underbelly of the Gilded Age. So that is another really, really fun subject to explore from a historical perspective and great things to look at on the screen. So that's full course. Then I'd like to do a short in the dark month of February that be just a couple of days probably, in which I would title Timeless Terror, Echoes of Faust, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and Babysitter Movies in The Cat in the Hat. And I swear to you, that book has always been one of the scariest things to me, still is. So I want to have my colleagues do a dramatic reading and consider it in context of other cultural sources of terror. I'm going to do it. Somebody will want to take it.
Well, I can't wait for that.
Please come.
Tina, thanks. I hope we can have you back to talk about some of those future courses you plan.
Oh, I'd be delighted to.
Curiosity Never Retires is produced by myself, David Flaxman, Andrew Hiller, and Jesse Williams, and is presented by Ollie at American University. Our theme music is education music from Background Music for Video by Pixabay. You can see our entire fall catalog of courses at olli-dc.org. That's olli-dc.org. For Curiosity Never Retires, I'm Paul VanVess. Stay curious.